Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Right, now we're recovering at this stage. This week's visiting critic is Ballymun man and comedian Willa White. Welcome to studio, Willa White.
Thank you very much, Oliver.
Very well known on the stand-up circuit, very much yourself on stage and in conversation, which
yes,
is a highly dangerous thing. And the lovely thing about the visiting critic slot every Friday is we get to kind of, you know, focus on arts and festivities and activities that rarely get a spotlight. So we sent you to Tala, to the Civic Theatre, to see a proper play. It's called The 3:30 at Cheltenham. And you're going to tell us everything. By the way, is this outside your comfort zone? It didn't feel like it because you've done acting.
I've done a bit of acting and I was in an award-winning play myself, but I wouldn't be one for visiting the theatre.
Would you not?
No, I wouldn't, unless it was an operation, if I was going into hospital. That would probably be the only theatre I would be visiting. And I couldn't do a review about that because I'd be asleep. I went to the Tala Theatre on Tuesday evening, mm-hmm. myself and a friend of mine, and we went over to watch the 3:30 at Cheltenham, a play all about gambling. I mean, what were the odds of that happening? So, yeah. So
this is the stagecraft that you practice.
Yeah, this is it. And it was a two-hander play with two amazing actors, I have to say. Yeah. A guy called Kenneth Hudson and a guy called Derek Conway, who wrote the play. And it shows an in-depth view to the world of gambling from a gambling addict, from a kid that started from a very young age who went into the bookies first and foremost with his grandfather, and kind of got the buzz of what was happening and
felt that he
belonged and all this kind of, you know, business, to then coming up to what, you know, what happens when it gets you, you know. And like most gamblers will always tell you about the winners. Mm-hmm. They never want to sit there and tell you about the losers, because the losing isn't a great story. No. Everyone wants to hear a story about someone that's won. And it just kind of takes you on this ride of, you know, someone who started off as most gamblers do and as most addiction does, with kind of, you know, just putting your foot into the pool and testing the waters and not knowing, you know, because I mean, addiction, for someone that comes from addiction, it's kind of a lottery. Some people you'll hang around with won't go down the road of being an addict, and other people it just kind of gets them a little bit more, and they're a little bit more intrigued, and they just get a little bit more caught up in it. And this guy was one of them guys that got caught up in the gambling situation, and it just shows you the highs and the lows of gambling, of where it can bring you in life, you know.
Yeah, pretty intense. Have a play with just two people in it telling this
very
story.
Very intense. I mean, Derek Conway plays a really great part. He plays the guy of who is the addict, as I would call it, the gambling addict.
Yeah.
And Kenneth Hudson plays a wide varied of characters, ranging from Dara's grandfather to the loan shark that's in the play, to some of his grandfather's friends, his brother, who's also in the play. And he just had this wide variation of characters that kind of pull you in and out. And I mean, it was an amazing play. It was a full house. I was at the preview. A lot of dialogue to remember. A really strong presence from both actors in it. And I just thought to myself, this is just... And what I really liked about it as well is that it was funded by Gambling Aware.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yes, so yeah, I, yeah. I was kind of, I was going...
Gambling Awareness Trust.
Yes, of course. And I said to myself, it's... Because you see these things, you know, Gamble Aware, you know, obviously with the drink campaign as well, now the one that's won too many. But it was great to actually see them being proactive and to get behind this and to kind of show people...
Great idea,
these
yeah.
are the
yeah.
dangers of gambling. Because for me, I class gambling as the blind addiction. It is an addiction that will not show physically on you
that you
have it. I mean, if you stood someone who was a crack cocaine addict and someone that was a long-term alcoholic in front of you, you would know that there was something wrong with them.
Gambling,
whereas if
you
stood
tell.
A gambling addict in front of you, you would not have a clue what was wrong with that person whatsoever. Yeah, yeah. So I kind of class it as the blind addiction. And my father always says to me, God rest him, he said, it's the art of spending something to get nothing. And I really, really identify with that. My dad would, you know, and like a lot of men, my dad on a Saturday would get 10 euros and back on a few horses.
Yeah.
And he explained it to me very, very simply. And it always resonated with me and always stayed with me. He said, this is the easiest way to put it to you. He says, a bookie has 9 or 10 horses in a race. He says, you've got one of them horses. He says, the bookie has the other 8 or 9.
Oh, yeah.
He says, who has the better chances of winning? Mm-hmm. Regardless of it being the favourite or whatever it might be. So it's just not my cup of tea.
He knew the risks.
Yeah, of course. And I've seen it firsthand. I've had friends of mine, personal friends of mine, who are caught up in that world. I have personal friends of mine who are in recovery, who go to a 12-step program, which helps with gambling. And I mean, it's very, very frightening, Oliver, because it's one of those things that you do not have to walk into a bookie shop anymore.
No.
It's on your phone. From all the betting industries.
The addiction is on your hand.
Exactly.
And the advertising continues, and I think we're going to be viewing them as like cigarette ads.
I personally think they should get rid of them. I think it should be like the cigarettes. I don't think they should get the advertising space that they get, you know?
The Goonanua Theatre Company. We should say, all those characters you mentioned, the loan sharks, that's where the kind of comedy comes in, I presume.
Yeah, it is a very serious play, but it has got its moments. There's dark comedy in it as well. And I think, like anything in life, you know, you can get a bit of laugh out of something that's been tragic.
Will you go to the theatre again?
Of course, yeah. Why not? Definitely will.
Have you been looking up at what would you go to see?
I'd like to go see something Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hamilton looks really, really good. I think it's sold out, so if there is anyone listening that has 2 tickets lying in the draw somewhere.
Good luck. Yeah. Good luck with that. The gambling addiction is not visible. Was your addiction visible?
Very visible. My addiction led me on a path of self-destruction. I didn't read the small print when I started taking drugs. I didn't read that you could end up homeless on the street. I didn't read that you could end up in prison, psychiatric institutions, that you could end up stealing from your family, that you could end up losing your friends, your self-will, your self-respect, your dignity, all that stuff. So yeah, my addiction was very, very visible.
What age were you when it gets a hold of you?
Well, the height of my addiction probably would have been in my early 20s, like 21, right up to 29, and fortunately for me, I got the help that I needed in a prison. And I know that sounds probably a little bit weird to people that are listening, but it was the best prison sentence that I'd done.
What were you in prison for?
I was in prison for possession with intent to supply a Class A drug, which, you know, I can sit here and say, like, the drugs were not mine. I was holding them for somebody. I wasn't one of these, drug dealers that drove around in a flashy car or anything like that. Probably at best, on a good day, I probably had a decent pair of trainers on my feet. So I was just...
You were feeding your own habit.
I was feeding my own habit by holding stuff by other people. And look, I paid the price. I went to prison, and in prison I found the help that I needed. I was on the run in England for a few years and ended up getting extradited home from England and came back to Ireland. And
you were on the run from your sentence?
I was on the run from the guards, yeah. I ended up over there and going over there and breaking my mother's heart. And I got the help that I needed in
how did you
fund
being on the run, by the way, in England?
Well, it's true. Anything. I mean, you know, anything I could have done is shoplifting or probably just, you know, getting a day's walk here and there if I could physically get out and do a day's walk. And I mean, at the end of my addiction in London, I was living in a car on the side of the street. So it was horrific, to say the least. You know, so I've been very fortunate.
In notorious prisons in England.
Well, I was in Brixton Prison in London before I come home, which is a notorious prison. Yeah, I was locked up for 23 hours a day. And I'm not sitting here going, oh, poor people.
You're in a cell for 23 hours a day?
Yeah.
Are you on your own?
No, I'm with somebody. There's always somebody with you because the prison is overcrowded.
My God.
In England, and Brixton Prison is a very, very big prison. And I used to tell them stories about Mountjoy, and it was like telling them about Disneyland in Florida. They were intrigued that you were out of your cell at 6 hours a day.
It was more to do with rehabilitation, the Mountjoy system, which is what you got, isn't
I got the help from a prison officer, a guy called Mark Farrell, who I'm still in contact with and who I still remain friendly with and have been very, very lucky in a sense to have gotten my life back and gotten everything back that I lost.
How long have you been sober in recovery?
I've been in recovery for over 23 years.
Wow.
A day at a time. So
So congratulations.
I suppose like what I'm trying to say, like that no matter what your poison is, whether you're, you know, whether it's drinking, whether it's gambling or whether it's drugs, the help is there available. Yeah.
And you're the living proof of it.
Yeah, here
Willa White,
yeah.
And you're very funny, despite this being a serious conversation.
No, I am. I'm very funny.
You too.
And just
what's your show called?
The show is called The White Stuff. And just to say, I'm up in Belfast on Saturday night in the Limelight Theatre.
Yeah.
And there is tickets available. I'm in Ballycotton in the church.
Lovely venue.
Yeah, I'm down there the week after next. So,
and the Olympia in October.
It's sold out already.
It's gone.
It's sold out eight months in advance. Yeah.
The Galway Comedy Festival as well. And you can hear, of course, Only Joking with Eric Lawler. That's the podcast.
That is an award-winning podcast.
And I'll mention the play afterward. We have to take one more break. Thank you so much, Willa White.
From the North, text studio, followed by your message to 80889.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by itsforwomen.ie. Irish online car insurance that's driven to offer big discounts and even bigger rewards.